Sideshow Podcast, episode 406. First show of the new year, and as Brian just pointed out to me, also of the new decade.
Yay!
Speaking of which, hopefully you headed over to the website and checked out our top albums of last decade, as well as all of our picks for last year's honorifics and best albums of the year. As always, please feel free to weigh in on any of those. Let us know what you think. Share your own lists. We've had a little bit going on over there, which is awesome. We'd love to see some more. You can also leave anything over in Facebook and Instagram, or well, that'd be a weird thing to put on Instagram, probably just on Facebook. So there you go. Social media plugs right at the top of the show. New year, new me. Yeah, that's my resolution. Plug shit more.
There you go. That's there not a bad go. Resolution.
I won't do it. I promise you I'll fall off by the next time we do this.
Yeah, because I'll be kicking off the episode and you won't chime in and do it.
Exactly. I also feel like every year our New Year's resolution is get better at social media. I'm not even going to pretend that that's a thing that we're actually going to stick to anymore. So, I don't know.
Maybe that means we'll actually do it this year.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
Under promise, so, over deliver.
You have a list that I'm going to make you share, and I have no segue of how to get into it. Other than it's a new year, we have a lot to look forward to in the world of metal, and there are a few confirmed albums of such, and many that should be about to be putting something out. I have not compiled this list, but Brian has.
Yeah, I have mostly of the definites that were pretty psyched about. They're all bigger bands, because that was the easiest to... that I came across. I actually didn't really go looking for any of this. It just came across numerous feeds and stuff. But in alphabetical order, the one probably I have is Cannibal Corpse, because they're entering the studio shortly, so it's not confirmed if it'll actually come out in 2020. Beyond that, confirmed in alphabetical order, Carcass, Deftones, Dark Tranquility, Every Time I Die, Gojira, Hatebreed, Lamb of God, Mastodon, Nails, and Tombs, which the last of which I think is coming out in March, so we'll be hearing that shortly. I think next week we're going to be reviewing the new Haunt album.
Yep.
Also, we have, if anyone remembers the band Beneath the Massacre, they're back with a new album, and we'll be checking that out soon. Intronaut is coming back. Have had a long hiatus. Junius is a maybe in the new music department. Caviller Talk, new one coming out. Not sure how we feel about it because we didn't really care about the last one, but I'm sure we'll give it a spin anyway. And one of Nick's favorite bands we always forget about between albums, Psilosis.
Yeah. Although we also didn't love the last one of those that much.
Right.
But they've been on a little bit of a break because the singer slash lead guitar player has been touring with Architects, I think.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe that's changed some perspective on writing or something. I don't know. But either way, I'm sure we'll be covering it when that comes out. So first episode, as is our tradition here, we look back on things that we may have missed from various year-end lists or albums that we just didn't have a chance to get around to. We had a lot of those last year because we did half as many episodes, so there were a lot more potential ones to be like, oh shit, we missed this. Or things, as I think I had mentioned this a while ago, things that, you know, you or I both listened to independently that we didn't have time to fit on the show that we liked and wanted to force the other one to listen to. Mm-hmm. So our shit we missed this year is kind of a hybrid of those two things. We're going to be doing two albums that we picked one each of, mm-hmm. and then two shit we missed from last year. So to start that off, I'm going with East of the Walls, NP Complete. It's out on Translation Lost Records. I have no idea what that album title is supposed to mean or what the artwork is or any of the anything, because these guys are proggy, mathy, and confusing. Yeah, I stared at that artwork and I don't get any of it. I saw you just like zoom in on your screen there for a second. Yeah, nope. I got nothing. But this is the fourth East of the Wall album that I'm aware of, and only our second time reviewing them. I would have guessed we had done more than that, but according to my catalog, we only did Redaction Artifacts.
The Apologist came out in 2011, so it probably came out before September that year, so we didn't cover it.
Yeah. So I know I'm historically a bigger East of the Wall fan than you are, because they tend to fit a little bit more into my mathy, slightly more instrumental sort of thing that I just generally tend to embrace more than you do, which makes perfect sense why I listened to this album last year and you did not. But this one works really well for me. It's a pretty big departure from a lot of what they've done before. It definitely lost some of the teeth. It's not nearly as kind of like metalcore heavy riff inspired as some of their previous works. And it sees almost exclusively clean vocals, which is new for the band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a little bit back and forth before, but they were predominantly more on the heavy, gravelly side of things, while still being more spacey and instrumental between passages. This sees them going more of like a modern Mastodon direction, almost, in like accessible, bigger, all clean vocals, but still complicated progression of time signatures and interesting evolution of songs. And why an album like this works so well, at least for me, is that it works equally well if you sit down and pay attention to what's going on, because the writing is still extremely complex and very engaging and interesting. However, there's also this kind of like general easygoingness of it that it works really well to throw in the background while you're doing something and have it be just a nice, pleasant space filler, which is not something I can say about the majority of the music we cover.
Yeah.
And it worked really well for that. And I kept finding myself going back to it throughout the year if I didn't really know what I was in the mood for. And I wanted something that was, you know, interesting and engaging, but I could kind of check in and check out of. This really fit that for me. And I don't know, like going back and now listening to their older works, this just feels much more mature than really anything they did prior. It's a very different direction, but I think I like it way better. I don't know. This just worked really, really well for me.
I actually agree. While I could appreciate their older stuff, it just didn't resonate with me as much. And I felt like it was trying to do this, but be heavy. And at the time, I wouldn't say it sounded forced, but it didn't make itself as accessible or as memorable to me in the end. Like, it lacked something from both ends of the spectrum trying to combine it. And there was a lot of good playing, there was some good writing in there, but it just didn't resonate with me. And this did. While it is more easygoing and you know, clean vocals, cleaner instruments, really, the writing is better, and you can hear all their skill much more. It does sound more mature. Like, it seems like weird to say, like, you change things and now you're more mature because you're not heavy, but it is just, it's mature in the fact that it's better and knows what it wants to be. It's confident in that delivery. And I think it is something that's like you were kind of saying, it works just as well to actively listen to as it does passively listen to. It's rewarding in both regards. So this was actually something we shouldn't have skipped. And I'm really surprised we didn't see more about this on blogs and stuff throughout the year. Because I feel like we would have, like, you had to tell me about it, and I was like, yeah, I'll check it out sometime, and I didn't. But it didn't keep showing up in my news feeds or anywhere to, like, remind me it existed, which I find strange.
No, I saw nothing about it. Had I not, like, actually, the only way I think I knew this album came out was because in my recommended for you this week iTunes list, this showed up there. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And then saw nothing else about them. No press on any of the blogs. Just, like, nothing. It just kind of, like, slid under the radar. But as I think I mentioned to you when we were picking this, if we were going by other things that we didn't review as a show, to rank on our albums for the end of the year,
right,
this easily would have been in my top five. I loved this album, and I listened to it an extremely large number of times for how much I actually listened to everything this year. This was higher than most.
Nice. I'm giving it a 4. It's really good.
All right. Look at that. I'm slowly making you a convert.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to make me go back and listen to the other stuff more or maybe hear it differently, but we'll see.
Yeah, I need to spend a little more time with that as well. Maybe we should have a listening party with those vinyls that you've been trying to sell forever and see how they hold up.
There you go.
All right. With that, we are going to play the song Tell Them I'm Sorry from East of the Walls album NP Complete. Check it out. We'll be right back.
was Tell Them I'm Sorry by East of the Wall off of their latest album, NP Complete. Let us know what you think of that little bit of change in direction of the band over on the site or our social media. We'd love to chat about it. Speaking of social media, this next band I featured on our Instagram in a short-lived B-sides feature thing I was doing. Well, it's still live. It's just, you know, barely breathing. So this band is called Asthma Castle, which I don't know what the hell that could possibly mean, but it sounds cool. Cooler yet is their album name, Mount Crushmore. It's an album released on Hellmistress Records. I don't remember how I came across this band, to be honest.
I have no idea.
I don't know if it wasn't doing ABCs, I don't think. Yeah, I don't remember how we found it, but I listened to it a whole bunch throughout the year, and I didn't feature it on Instagram till later, but it's just fucking fun. It is really heavy stoner metal, bit sludgy, little doomy. Their tagline on Bandcamp is stealing souls and packing bowls, so that should give you an idea of what to expect. It comes across, especially vocally, a little Mastodon-y at times. Somewhere like the older, heavier sound, obviously, but the writing wise, it's probably a little newer. And it's just rocking. That's the thing. They're just having fun playing it. It gets aggressive. It's always loud. It's a just raucous good time with packed with riffs. I mean, whether they're dooming it out or they're kind of thrashing along, it is just riffy, and you can't help but bang your head to it. It was just a very easy album to get into, and one of those bands you'd want to go see in a smoky bar. Well, I don't like smoky, but you get the idea. Kind of towny bar somewhere with cheap beer. Mm-hmm. Just a good time of an album.
Yeah, this is a fun one. You sent this one to me much earlier in the year. I gave it a spin or two at the time. And I was like, how is this coming from Brian? Because while all those things you said are true, it also definitely leans heavier onto the stonery, drawn out, slower doom side of things than you normally go to. It has like, it's somewhere between that Mastodon and Old Maylene kind of like blended together, like both in some of the noodliness of it. And also at times very much so in his vocal delivery. It comes and goes, but he definitely crosses into that kind of like when he goes into his little higher range, it does sound very reminiscent of like second album era Maylene.
Okay.
And it's like just a weird pick from you that I was surprised when I hit play. Like I didn't know what I was expecting when you said, "Hey, check out Asthma Castle's Mount Crushmore." I was like, "Well, I have absolutely no guess what this will sound like." Which is always a great way to go into listening to anything because you never know what you're in for.
Yeah.
And while I enjoyed it a whole lot, I was shocked that this was something that had jumped out at you enough to send my direction and then do a little mini review on and then also pick as your one to talk about at the end of the year. That's great. That's awesome. We're expanding some horizons today, but it was a surprise and a pleasant one. I like this. I mean, this generally I would say would tend to be also more up my alley than, you know, kind of East of the Wall, but in a very different direction here.
Yeah.
But this was a really good fit, and it is a lot of fun. I felt myself wanting the production to be like a little bit clearer, not cleaner. I like the kind of underproduced feel, and there is plenty of low end. There's plenty of highs to it. There's just something about it that feels like it's kind of run through a filter or a little bit compressed. But I mean, that's a minor gripe. It just takes like the first, you know, 30 seconds of the first song to kind of like adjust your ears a little bit, and then you're good to go for the rest of the album.
Yeah, there's something a little underdone there. I haven't quite pinpointed.
There you go.
Yeah, it surprised me too. I think it is that the speed, a little bit of aggression added from the Malian era, and also inadvertently listening to more stoner things, because that's my wife inexplicably likes it. However, I was on the way up to your house, not this past trip, the trip before, and playing it, and she was like, "What the hell is this?" She did not care for it.
I mean, this does tip a little bit, well, a fair amount heavier than a lot of
that. Yeah, it's heavier, and I'm sure the vocals were one of the more off-putting things for her, but I think that also what works for me, that adds to the aggression. I like that it's just, he's yelling into the microphone. It's just raw, and his throat's probably killing him later.
This
one's a lot of fun. The production puts it off a little bit for me as far as wanting it on vinyl, but if that was like tweaked the other way, this would sound just massive. This is a solid 4 for me. I really enjoy this one.
Yeah, this is a 4 for me as well. This was a good find. I was happy to go check it out for sure.
Awesome. So with that, check out the song "Here Comes the Black Ship" from Asthma Castle off their rager of an album, Mount Crushmore.
That was Here Comes the Black Ship from Asma Castle. Now we're switching gears, a whole lot. I was going to say switching gears a little bit to focus on things we saw elsewhere that we didn't recommend to each other, but we're also shifting gears in terms of sound, because this is about as big of a departure as you could get. We're moving on to No One Knows What the Dead Think with their self-titled debut. It's out on Willowtip. This is featuring members of Discordant Access, as well as the singer of that same band who then went on to be in Gridlink, which you may recall is a band that we reviewed a while ago. If you don't recall, go check that out. They're very much so a grindcore band, as is this. I'm still not sure how I feel about this one. I get the hype surrounding about 50% of it. Some of it to me just kind of washes and starts to feel very much the same as other things on an already short album that doesn't really feel like it pushed any sort of boundaries, I guess. But then songs like Autumn Flower that we're going to play for you, or Dagger Before Me, and maybe a couple other ones, they develop into this nice kind of like slower, broader pace, like not just noise, no vocals for a little bit. The drums aren't just playing blast beats, which is kind of my biggest critique of this album, is other than these moments, the drums are very much so a one-trick pony of just breakneck speed the entire way through. But there's moments on here where they switch that up and they develop a groove. And they do that thing that we talk about that we like when grindcore bands do, that happens so infrequently, of writing something that feels like a bigger, more complex, more complicated song and still keeping it in that sub 2.5 minute range. And there's a few moments on here that hit that, and I get what the hype is, and I really enjoy that flow and that balance. And I know you need the more straightforward, typical grindcore in order to have that other bit pay off, but the balance and ratio didn't quite stack up for me. The playing is solid, the writing is solid, but a lot of it feels a little bit redundant to me.
Yeah,
I don't know. I get it, but I don't get it.
It's going to sound like I'm trying to criticize like five different publications all at once, but I do have to wonder if everyone would have cared so much about this band if it didn't have the members it did. And pretty much for the reasons you said, it's good. There's reasons why we get the hype. But this ended, when this was on your end list, it was pretty high on a lot of them. It wasn't just like, you know, barely making it in the bottom or anything. So while it's good grind, especially if you like Gridlink, I think it was a little overhyped. That said, I mean, there is a bit of diversity on here. There, and where I think it really stands out compared to some of their counterparts is there's a little bit of melody, but it's kind of understated. It's in the way some of the riffs kind of bounce or flow, but the drums keep it grinding 95% of the time. And the vocals are just this, like, I don't know, loud, kind of higher pitched scream that just, it's very sharp, goes through the whole thing and helps keep that extremity, even if the music kind of does something else.
Mm-hmm.
I know two of the members have been together a long time, but this is the first album by them doing this. So I'm curious if they'll play on the diversity a little more. Not that I expect them to go into an Antigma range, but this is got a lot of potential to be some just good modern grindcore. I feel like when you listen to grindcore, there's not a lot of like, this is old school grindcore and this is new school grindcore. It's just fucking right. Grindcore. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But to stand out, you got to do something a little different. And this is doing a little bit of that. And I'm curious to see more of that come out in future releases.
Yeah, I agree. This is definitely something like, you know, the next time we see this name, we'll probably be covering it again, but I'm going to hope it comes with some growth to go with it. This is a three for me.
Same.
All right. With that, we're going to play the aforementioned song, Autumn Flower. This is off of the debut from No One Knows What the Dead Think. Check it out.
Autumn Flower by No One Knows What the Dead Think off their self-titled debut. It's out now on Willow Tip. Last, we have a band I found somehow, somewhere.
2019 was a blur. Who knows?
Yeah, I honestly don't remember. It was on my Bandcamp wishlist for a while. I finally bought it. I don't remember when or how I came across it. The band is Sleep Sculptor. The album is Entry Dispersal. So, I'm on their Facebook page now, and their genre, they say, is mathy metalcore. And when I sampled it, I got a bit of the metalcore sound, and I remember telling Nick more about that sound. And then when I went to listen to the album more, I got more of the metalcore slash, actually, like, heavy hardcore side of things. So, and all I can think of is, Nick's probably... not as pleased with the pick as he thought I would be. So it's okay. It's a band that they're heavy. They're aggressive. There's some
for sure
really great. There's some great breakdowns, and playing with pinch harmonics and some noodly math riffs, but they don't cross that threshold they need to go to. They're riding this train a little fast, and they want to take it off the rails, but they won't, is what it feels like. And I really want them to. I want them to go full mathcore. And it's there. Some of the songs have those bits in there. It's just not consistent. The heavy hardcore part is what's consistent, the beatdown aspect of it. And that's great for what it is. But it's not quite what I wanted. And I guess that's more on me. And I kind of nitpicked it, maybe. But...
How's it feel?
I mean, you've done worse.
Yeah, much.
yeah, so it's good. It just... You'd have to go into it wanting more of a beatdown sound that plays with mathcore as opposed to the reverse of that. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, this has definitely more of a, like, I would go so far as to say, like, a deathcore vibe to it, as far as, like, just, like, the weight of the non-squealy parts where it's not mathy, just, like, that kind of beatdown vibe, and a lot of the vocal approach remind me of something somewhere mixed between Knocked Loose, Suicide Silence, and The Devastated.
See, it's funny. I was going to say Knocked Loose, but I was going to go more with, like, Silenus and that type of hardcore as opposed to Devastated. Wow, where'd you pull that one from?
Because it was a band I really, really super didn't like at the time, and that name has stuck with me forever, and it's what I think of when I think of deathcore. And then I remember we've covered a whole bunch of deathcore that I actually enjoy, and I need to remove the stigma from that title. But when there's something I don't like, I still skew that way. This is not as bad as much as we hated that one.
Yeah.
Though if I recall, that was the album we panned for having the absolute worst production of any album we ever listened to. I think that was that, where every note of everything was clipped.
That might have been. I don't remember.
I think that was that. Maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. This album is none of that, and it doesn't sound anything like that band. It just, like, has a little bit more of that deathcore sure. approach and vibe and vocal delivery than I go for. And then a lot of the squealy guitar thing going on from Knocked Loose, and maybe even a little bit of Meth, but these guys wrote songs.
Right.
But, like, there is a guitar that is pretty much dedicated to being discordant and borderline obnoxious, and it just rides that throughout the album. And I feel like 2019 was the year that mathcore and I make high-pitched noises that don't sound nice together with my guitar became the same thing. And this is that. Like,
right.
Sure, it's kind of like there are some mathy moments, and if you sat down and paid enough attention to count time signatures and figure out repeats, like, sure, there is some mathy elements to that, but I feel like almost any band that we really like, if you paid attention to it, there's some weird time signature thing going
yeah.
on. It's a lot of it that gets labeled math as, like, I threw in a weird squeal here and you didn't see it coming, and, like, that's just become, like, synonymous with what math is. And I don't like that. And this is leaning on to that. I would not consider this a mathy band. There are moments that may be.
Right.
But by and large, they're not there. But there's guitar squeals in spades.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they could get there. They're not there. This is only their second release in 2 years, according to their Bandcamp. So, like, they're very young. They got a lot of room for growth. And if this is what they sound like, that's just fine. Again, the expectation was provided by me, but I do agree with you. If you're going to be a mathy metalcore, you need a little more mathy. Their influences, as they state, include Tony Danza, Tap Dance Extravaganza, Arsonist Get All the Girls, The Chariot, Dillinger, and Number 12 Looks Like You. And I could hear that they like all those bands.
Yeah, and say and you know, that actually works, because there are moments of this that I do enjoy, and I would definitely check out another album, but I only like about half those bands. I also only like about half this album. And that's, I mean, as you said, that's a taste thing more than a delivery thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, what they're doing is fine. I don't think you and I are the target demo for it. So, like, there's part of me when I first played this, especially after, like, when you and I were deciding what albums to pick this week, you clearly hadn't listened to this very much at that time, because you're like, yeah, I'm going to pick Sleep Sculptor. You're going to like these guys. And I was like, awesome. So I was stoked to go into it. And their name does not indicate what they sound like. To me, I'm picturing something big and atmospheric and a little bit more on the chill, mellow vibe with a name like that. So, like, as you're saying, like, you didn't tell me what the band sounded like at all. You just, I think we should do Sleep Sculptor. You're going to really like it. And I was like, all right. So that's where my head was at when I hit play. And it is so far from that, that, like, it kind of just, like, got my hackles up immediately. And it took me a while to be like, okay, it's not what I thought it was going to be based on absolutely no information. But it's also not bad. It's just not something that I think is really skewed for me. So I guess all that is to say, I'm going to give it a 3. When I first hit play, I was like, I do not like this. This is a 2. After spending more time with it, I was like, this is just not for me. What they're doing is fine. I think it could use a little bit more range and a little less squealies. But what's there is not bad, and it's a good platform to continue going somewhere else. So I'm going to give it a nice even 3.
Yep, same here. All right, so with that, when we're done, you're going to hear the song Relinquished off Sleep Sculptor's album Entry Dispersal. Next week, we're going to get into actual new music for 2020 with Haunt and two other bands, and probably a Bandcamp gimmicky section thing. We think we decided on what to do, not how to do it, and what we're going to feature for that episode. So there's some work to be done on our end. On your end, make sure you go like and follow us on social media, which we'll try to use more.
Just make no promises.
Yeah, just do it anyway, because it helps us, but we'll try. And if you do communicate with us that way, at least I do get all the notifications, so I can talk to you. Go and leave comments on the website and stuff. We'll just leave it at that for now. Come back next week for 407 for some new music for 2020. Right now, listen to the song Relinquished by Sleep Sculptor.